BP Pulse's rapid and ultra-fast chargers help you keep up with your busy lifestyle. Like charging your EV for the big shop, Jane's party up north, weekend at Mum's, Steve's party down south, walkies with Tiddles, that away game, back home. Oops, forgot the dry cleaning. Keep up with the speed of life with our rapid and ultra-fast EV chargers nationwide. Download the BP Pulse app to find your nearest and available chargers. BP's here for your travel needs, mostly with petrol and diesel, but BP Pulse already has over 3,000 rapid and ultra-fast charging points.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation, Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
Oh, there we are, 3 minutes after 12. Leave politics in the fridge for a moment and immerse yourselves instead into a world of trivia and illumination, of facts and figures, of erudition and education. It is your weekly opportunity to achieve the sort of satisfaction not ordinarily available anywhere else on your radio dial. The way it works is that you ring in with a question to which you know there must be an answer, but you are damned if you can find it. And then someone else ideally rings in with the answer, and I ask them how they know the answer to that question, and they tell me. So when I say, what are your qualifications, it doesn't mean that you have to say, oh, I have a PhD in applied mathematics. You could just say, I heard it on your programme last week, James, or I saw it on the telly last night, or I have a PhD in applied mathematics. All are valid answers to the question, what are your qualifications, because the question, or rather the answer, is how you know it. How do you know that thing that you've just told us? Don't send me messages complaining that you can't get through. Don't forget, Rami, when you're listening on Catch Up. No, a man was not caught with 104 turtles down his trousers. It was 104 snakes. I've already answered that question, but you can probably hear that. You're probably listening to this about an hour behind where we currently are. A nice moment, though, to remind you that with Global Player, you can rewind and pause live radio. Should we crack straight on? I don't think we need much. Oh, crikey, there's a prize. There's an amazing prize, a brilliant prize for my favourite contribution of the day. You can win a Mystery Hour board game. Absolutely beautiful bit of kit. Yours for the price of a brilliant question or answer, or just a winning contribution. It may be your personal charm, your charisma that shines through rather than your actual words. 03456060973 is the number you need to play. The full terms and conditions for the conversation competition are at lbc.co.uk. And if you want to buy a Mystery Hour board game or find out more about it, you can do so at mysteryhour.co.uk. Thank you very much. I remembered it all. Rob's in Cargreen in Cornwall. Rob, question or answer?
A question, please, James, if that's okay.
Carry on, yeah, absolutely.
It's a little bit niche. I play a lot of tennis and I watch a lot of tennis. I love the game and I know everyone's watching it this fortnight. But I've always been interested in the tennis ball, you know, the way they're made from those sort of two pieces of felt glued together. And there's a really crude scene that sort of runs around the whole tennis ball.
Yes.
And it just strikes me that, you know, in this day and age, that if the ball should be completely covered in felt. I don't see that seam offers anything in terms of, like, spin or the flight of the ball. And I imagine it's a sort of throwback to when they used to manufacture it. It was too difficult to completely cover it in felt, so you ended up with this crude bit.
But
you look at balls in other sports, you know, they're all fancy these days, and they're all super slick and what have you. No one kicks a football with laces or anything. Why do tennis balls still look like they've been glued together by a three-year-old?
I love this question. I wonder if you've answered it, though, accidentally.
In what way?
Is it definitely two pieces? Are we confident of that?
Yeah, I'm confident that they're two sort of figure of eight shapes.
Well, maybe it's the glue. Maybe you have to have a kind of landing strip.
I appreciate that, but I'm not sure.
If the glue touched the felt, we'd be in a right old state, wouldn't we?
No, what you've got is the seam is sort of like the rubber underneath. That's all around the ball anyway. But you can cover them. If you go into a beach shop, say, you know, and, you know, somebody to kick around on the beach, you see loads of these big, massive balls, felt balls, and there's no seam on them or anything. They're completely covered in felt. I would have thought that would give a smoother flight.
Yeah, I would as well. I would as well.
More uniform contact, you know, when you're hitting it with the racket. I realise it's really niche, but I don't think it's niche at all.
This is mystery out, mate. Everything's niche, isn't it? You can't really ask a question of universal application or universal interest.
Very true. Very well said.
Yeah, you're on.
Is it a money-saving thing as well? You know, would putting that little bit of extra felt cost the manufacturers that bit more? I don't know.
What who's going to win Wimbledon?
I'm not very good at doing predictions.
Are you not? Because I love tennis, but I've noticed...
I'm obsessed with it. I thought Sinner was going to win, but sadly, I was there last week and I saw him, and he was absolutely fantastic.
He did great in his first game, didn't he? But it felt.
I
would have described myself as someone who loves tennis, but watching this year's tournament, I've realised that I'm nowhere near as clued up on it as I used to be. I think it goes back to lockdown. I don't think I've ever got right. And also, Andy Murray, I suppose, not being as prominent or going as far in tournaments as he used to do. But it's a bit of a weird one, that, when you suddenly realise that you don't know sort of three or four of the top 10 players.
It's the changing of the guard, isn't it?
There is a changing of the guard underway as well.
For so many years, we've just been used to four names, really, that you've got to get your head around, and now.
Cool.
That's great. But thank you for...
Great question. No, I like it. I like one. New balls, please. It's 8 minutes after 12. David's in Macclesfield. David, question or answer?
Question, please.
Carry on.
Okay, right. I've always wondered why passengers or toilets in hospitals don't have a closure lid. And they're always just... You know, you got the single rim you sit on.
The seat. The seat.
Yeah, the seat, yeah.
Yeah, the toilet seat.
Yeah, there's no one. You can't close them. I mean, you'd think about the bacteria and how it spreads and everything else.
Yeah.
You think they have a closing lid, but there's not.
No, I think you've answered your question.
Why?
What would a lid be except a receptacle for more bacteria? It'd be filthy. You've got no lid. It's cleaner.
Well, it just means need cleaning.
This might need some work, this answer. But I think that's probably it. Are we definitely sure this is true? I don't want to pry, David, inappropriately, but have you spent a lot of time in hospital?
Well, I have actually, yes.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but I'm glad that things are all right now. And how much research would you say you had undertaken into the presence or not of lids on lavatories in hospitals?
Well, I just thought I would have helped to keep bacteria in rather than...
No, I understand the question. I want to know how confident we are that there are no lids on hospital bogs.
100%.
Never seen one, man or boy.
You might have seen an odd one.
Ah, this is what I'm worried about. You see, you might have just... All right, it's on the list. It's on the board. I'll see what I can do. Why are there no lids on hospital toilets? These are two mystery hour questions for the ages, neither of which we've had before. Why are tennis balls so rubbish looking? You know, you could have a nice round uniform felting on a tennis ball. Why have they got these snaky lines on them? And secondly, why are there no lids on hospital toilets? 0345 6060973. It's 10 minutes after 12. Fanny is in Cheltenham. Fanny, question or answer?
Well, I've got both, but I phoned up with a question, yes. But the loo thing.
No! Do not come on here and ride roughshod over all the rules and regulations. Do you know what your problem is, Fanny?
What's that?
You don't think that you should abide by the network of obligations that binds the rest of us.
Yeah,
Boris.
Yeah.
You're Boris. what's your question?
My question is, why in sport is a heat called a heat?
Oh, we're on a roll today. That's three questions in a row that I'm fairly confident, A, we've never done before, and B, I'm absolutely... Well, I don't know the answer in the first instance.
I have been so desperate to look it up on the internet, but every time this show comes on, I go, one day I'll phone up, and today I'm here.
And you've done it, finally.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like it comes from the Latin or the French or anything like that, does it?
No.
Why is it called a heat? You're on.
Why is it called a heat?
I love it. Why is it called a heat? We shall endeavour to find out for you. Thank you, Fanny. Cole's in Birmingham, even. Cole, question or answer?
Hey, James, it's a question, please. Another one for the pile, because I can't answer any of the other questions.
No, it's a good one this week. Carry on.
So my 11-year-old yesterday, and I've slept on this, it didn't make sense in my head when he asked me at the time yesterday, but I thought about it this morning.
Yes.
At half-time and full-time, there's a
Your
very
surname's
distinct...
not Palmer, is it, by any chance? Because if it is,
no.
I can get you on the breakfast show.
No, I wish.
All right, carry on.
At half time and full time, there's a very distinctive cadence whistle blow.
Yes.
In a football match. Why? What's the origin of it? Where does that come? I've got lots of questions here.
Maybe we need to zone in on it because I'll give you that. I mean, it needs to be specific so that they know that it's the end of play rather than just a free kick or a foul it's to let everybody know that's it. So you need a different.
But what's the origin of that specific sound? Because it's a very distinctive, specific sound, isn't it?
Can you do it?
And it's always a sound. Oh, I can probably try whistle it.
Go on.
Should we give it a go?
Yeah. Hang on, I'm just going to get my Chirp-O-Matic app out and see if I can. You need to be here for yesterday's show to fully appreciate that moment. That was pretty good. One of the best answers we ever had on Mystery Hour came from a fellow who was the official archivist of a whistle manufacturer just up the road from you. It was in Birmingham.
There's a lot of that in the
around the jewellery quarter down there isn't it? So he might know. But why that tune? Because it's always the same, which means it must be something they teach in referee school.
There must be a ref or an historian listening who can help us out with this. I didn't want to Google it. I thought that was a good one for today.
There it is. It's a cracker. Thank you, Cole. Lovely, lovely question. So, why are tennis balls not felty all over? Why are there no lids on hospital toilets? Why are heats in sporting competitions called heats? And where does the tune, or what's the word I'm looking for? It's not a tune, is it? What do they call it when you, like, you know, when you turn your computer on and you get a sort of ding, 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 that. Is there a word for that? It's like a few notes, but not enough notes to be a tune. Why are you all looking at me like I'm stupid? No, well, that's fine then, but don't look at me as if the question is stupid. It's you don't know an answer to it. That means you're stupid. I don't know either, but I thought of asking the question. What is it? A sonic tag? Really? Sounds painful. Ren's in Edgware. Ren, question or answer?
It's a question, James.
Carry on, Ren.
Can I tell you how much I love you as well? You're like our friend.
Oh,
you're just the best you are. Thank you.
What a lovely thing to
say. Thank you for everything you do. We talk about you like you're our friend at home.
I am your friend.
What did James say?
Yeah, who's we?
Me and my husband.
Oh, thank you, Ren. That's such a lovely thing to hear. Thank you. But anyway, what's the question?
My question is, so can you tell from a shell where it's from?
Oh, I thought the whole question was going to rhyme then. Can you tell from a shell how it smells? Can you tell from a shell?
The ocean, hopefully.
What do you mean?
So we have shells. We have shells from, you know, various holidays.
Yes.
They're in like pretty jars and.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Them on boxes, and can you tell? Because they're all mixed up now. But if you gave it to somebody clever, could they tell? Okay, this shell is from, you know, like you can tell from genetics. Our genetics, where we're from.
I bet you can, because would I be right in thinking you don't read a lot of crime fiction?
No.
No, because they do soil. The one I'm reading at the moment is they're doing some soil and sand analysis, and they will be able to identify whether the body was moved from place A to place B, or where the body. So I bet you do similar with shells, certainly with crushed up shells, which is what some beaches are made of.
Yes.
I love this. I love this question, but that means there'd be some sort of database. And how big is it? So if I've got a bit of shell stuck in my boot, would they be able to say, oh, that's from a certain beach in Thailand, for example?
Yeah, but it wouldn't even have to be specific to the beach, right? Some of my shells are from Thailand, but even from the part of the world.
Yeah, but how can they do it with soil then?
But isn't it does soil move around like shells do?
No, but it's got a different make. It's got a more complicated makeup, probably, so it's easier to specify. They do. Well, it's a brilliant question. Do shells have DNA? Mike's had a go at a poem. He said, can you tell from a shell where it fell?
But do shells fall?
No, that's rubbish. This is better. James has gone for, can you tell from a shell where it did dwell?
Oh, that I like that. I'll share the mystery. I'll share the game.
That's a bit presumptuous. Oh, really? Oh, now it's coming out. All that soft soaping at the beginning of this call. All that buttering up.
Oh, no, we do love you. You're the best. You are.
Thank you, Ren, and to your husband as well. 12:17 is the time.
Mystery Hour.
Summer's out there. Rent a car with Enterprise and. unlock it. Prepay and save 10% on your enterprise rental this summer. Terms and conditions apply.
How exciting is it to play the British Heart Foundation's weekly flutter?
Ka-ching!
Exciting enough to get your heart racing. Just a little bit. Like texting a mate. The same time they text you. Huh. Like flipping pancakes with majestic grace. Or spotting that last parking space. Yes! With the added joy of knowing the money you donate helps to fund life-saving research. £1 to play, £1,000 to win every week. Search British Heart Foundation Weekly Lottery. See? It's a little bit exciting.
Gamble responsibly. Over 18s only. T's and C's apply. Please see our website for more details. British Heart Foundation is a registered charity.
On LBC with James O'Brien.
Don't ring in to answer the silly questions I come up with on the back of other proper questions. I don't. I think it's called a chime when you turn on your computer and it goes bing, 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 or something like that. But is that what word would you use to describe the referee's whistle? Is it a tune or a chime? I don't know. But it's not important because that's not what the question was. That's not what Cole asked us. The question is, where does it come from? The very distinct series of notes that the referee blows on his whistle at full time or half time. Where does it come from? I quite like that from Alex as well. He says, I just tuned into Shell BC. Dan's in Medway. Dan, question or answer?
It's a question, please.
Yeah.
When I take my shower head out of the shower holder and lower it down to wash my body, the water gets hotter and I can't work out why. And it's not just my particular shower. It's in hotels and other, you know, previous residents.
Have you had this conversation with anyone else?
Yeah, do you know what? The producer asked the same question. I haven't had the confidence to ask anyone.
No, but here you are in front of 1.4 million people, potentially.
I mean,
But no one can see you now. No one can see you. So in ways, you are feeling anonymous, even as you ask this question, aren't you?
Exactly. You've got it.
I don't think it's possible.
I knew you was going to say that.
But you've got hair. Are you quite hairy?
No, quite the opposite. But are you bald? Being honest, no, not from the top.
Have you got a full head of hair? Yeah, but that's all right. I don't need to know any other details.
No.
You've got a full head of hair.
I do.
And the water is landing on that. And then when you take...
This could be if it's hitting my back, you know, I've stepped forward, it's not hitting my hair.
So if you lower the spray from your chest to your knee, you think it is getting hotter at each...
Hotter. Definitely.
Every inch, every 2 inches, every 6 inches?
I mean, it does feel gradual. The lower it gets, the hotter it gets.
I'm putting it on the board, but I mean, I can't see how this would be true I mean, pressure might change. Pressure probably would change slightly, and
that's the only thing I could think of. But I would have thought it got colder because the cold water is not having to work as hard in the system, not hotter.
Yeah, but then it's going downhill.
I still don't like this question going downhill, if I'm honest. But
I like the question. I don't know who would be able to answer it. I suppose some sort of physicist. All right, you're on. I like it, Dan. Take it easy. So you're in the shower, right? Showering your head, bald or hairy, makes no difference. Feeling a certain temperature, and then you take, I'm just going to give the old body a bit of a sluice. So you take the shower out of the shower head, and it's gone a bit colder. Not a lot colder, but it's gone a bit colder around the sort of nipple area. And then you get around the thighs, it's got colder still. And by the time you're washing your feet, it's practically Arctic. Is that feasible? Does it happen? 0345 60 60 973. I think it might do, actually. 22 minutes after 12 is the time. Dean is in Enfield. Dean, question or answer?
It's an answer, James.
Carry on, mate.
So it's to do with the hospital and the toilet seat.
Fantastic. Go on.
So, basically, it's all to do with government regulations around something called DOC-M. And DOC-M stipulates anything that's for disabled access or people with generally movement issues or anything like that stipulates whether it's even the cistern has to have a bigger lever on it or a big button, anything like that, anything that's hard of movement, so i.e. an extra seat to lift up would make it harder access for people with disability issues. So basically that's why they don't have a toilet seat on it, because of DOCM regulations.
I mean, it makes perfect sense. Access to and use of buildings.
Yeah, basically.
And there'd be lots and lots of other stuff. Qualifications?
I work in the bathroom distribution industry. So, yes, I could probably answer the other one about the showerhead as well, but obviously I'm not allowed to.
No, you better not. just to be on the safe side. Dean, can I ask you a question?
Go.
What do we think about baths in bedrooms?
It's a very niche kind of thing, yes. I mean, it was generally more traditional kind of setups that have it, and obviously you do get, you know, fancy.
Yeah, that's what I'm into. That's because I think we're about to get ours done, I'm very drawn to this. We went away for the weekend, and there was a bath in the bedroom, and I thought it added a whole new dimension.
Yeah, I mean, my point of view is probably my partner wouldn't want to see me getting out of the bath when she's in bed.
No, that's true. She could close her eyes.
Well, yeah.
But you can have a nice chat. You can have a nice chat.
Yeah, it depends how long it takes me to get out of the bath as well.
Well, not just when you're getting out. You can have a chat while you're in it. I'm a fan, but I think that Mrs. O'Brien's going to need a little bit of persuading on this one. And I was hoping you might give me some ammo, but frankly, you haven't.
Yeah, no.
You haven't helped. Yeah, all I've got now is an image of you.
Not for me.
You've got no. No. A round of applause for Dean, please. Lovely work. Lovely work. Dave's in Norfolk. That's a bit vague. Whereabouts in Norfolk?
Rudham.
Rudham?
Yes.
Have we done this before?
We have, yeah.
Were you thatching a roof last time?
Oh, no, just carpentry work.
You mentioned
a certain pub in Rudham.
Yeah, I did, The Crown. Yeah, no, I was about to show off my knowledge of Norfolk pubs again, but given that it's exactly the same audience as last time, I won't bother. Can we change Dave's address from Norfolk to Rudham, please, so that I don't do this three times on the trot? Question or answer, Dave?
Since the pub, they've put a picture of you up in the pub bar, basically.
They what?
They've put a picture of you in the pub.
Yeah, that's because I'm barred.
James, I was on holiday. It's a question. I was on holiday about a month ago in a nice Greek island, and I'm curious of how much revenue the island keeps and how much they send back to mainland Greece.
Because they've got
Balearics.
Regional government of sorts, but wouldn't that be the same as how much does it all go back to central government and then come out again like it would with council money?
Yes, basically, yeah, because obviously the island has to be
It's not going to hold true across all countries, is it? Different countries will have different rules. Crete, where were you? What island?
Kos.
Oh, no, I've not been to Kos. Was it nice?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
How hot was it,
windy,
though?
Windy, but there we are.
How hot was it?
33.
So. Oh, that's not too bad. The wind can be misleading. I'm worried. We're off in a week and a half, but it's so hot at the moment. I'm worried I might melt. Anyway, this is the question that needs an answer to it. When you're on holiday on an island, and we'll take anything on this, so it could be Greece, it could be Spain, how much of the... What's the economic arrangement with the mainland? How does it work? So you pay 100 quid in... Kos, how much of it ends up in Athens? I like it. Dave, thank you. Take care. 26 minutes after 12. Give my love to everyone in the crowd. They have no idea who I am, of course, but it's nice. It's the thought that counts. James is in Gillingham. James, question or answer?
Oh, it's a question, James, please.
Carry on.
I was hanging the washing out earlier on, a little spider, one of those little spiders that hides in the clothes pegs sometimes, came down, went down about 2 feet, and then on its thread, and then pretty well immediately... It came up again. And my question is, what happens to that thread? Because it can't eat it, because it would be the equivalent of you or I being a spider having an eighth of an inch, quarter of an inch rope.
Yeah.
And then
So where does it go? So they come down and then they kind of take it back in again.
Well, yeah. But I don't know whether they reel it up, but then there's no sign of that. And what do they do with it? So, that's my question, really.
It's a nice question, that.
Thank you.
Isn't it? It's not why are they doing it. It's just literally, here is a metre of web What's the correct word? Not web. What's
thread?
Thread will do. Thread? Anyway, here's a meter of it. Where's it gone when the spider goes back up again?
Because very briefly, it would be the equivalent of us having a 50, 60-foot length of...
Yeah, it would do. And it's not climbing it and then leaving it behind it. It's going back into the spider, probably.
That or whatever, yeah.
That's a good question. It's on the board. Spiders, islands, showerheads, shells, football whistles, heats and tennis. Still need answers, please. 0345 606 0973. Matt's been in touch. He says, could you please pass a message to James O'Brien as follows? What do you think this is? The BBC? It just appears in front of me, Matt, and I decide whether I'm going to read it out or not. There's not some sort of like team of top staff going through my correspondence. I am a hospital cleaner and the toilets on almost all wards do have seats. I knew it. I said to David, didn't I? I said, are you sure? Have you done enough research? But we've also got our answer to that question, which is that when they don't have seats, it will be because of document M. Was it M? I think it was document M. Actually, I'm going to tell you exactly what document it was because these things matter. It was document M. Document M, access to and use of buildings. Will's in Camberwell. Will, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Carry on, Will.
I'm just packing for a festival in Wales, and I found some army military food ration packs from when I was a scout back in the day.
Where did you find them?
Well, my parents recently came up. They moved house after 38 years, and they dropped a huge bag of stuff and said, this is yours now, own it.
Oh, fair enough.
Some of it away, but... Yeah. So I've got a half pint of Mulliga Tawny soup, oxtail soup, rolled oats mix, and sugar, coffee, but it was packaged in 1992.
Is it still edible? Tinned or dried? Is it tinned or dried?
It's in like a paper thingy.
So it's dried?
It's dried, but in sealed bags, yeah. So it dries, yeah.
So dehydrated food?
Correct.
Did you get any glucose tablets or Spangles?
I can't see that, although I can see orange powder.
Do you know
powder.
What you've done? The orange powder is quite nice, but I bet you ate the Spangles in 1992. Because you used to, certainly in the cadet force that I was compelled to do on occasion, when we went on hikes, the ration packs always had a packet of Spangles in them. Happy days.
Well, there was 10 tours back on Dartmoor we used to do with scouts and stuff.
And there's no dates anywhere on the packaging. Twice. You can't find any dates anywhere on the packaging.
Only packaged in 1992, it says. It doesn't say best before because it's all military types, isn't it?
Yeah,
November 1992.
So Will be able to eat his 1992 dehydrated ration packs?
Exactly.
That's the question. When are you off? When's the festival?
It's actually started now. It's the Love Trails Festival in the Gower Peninsula. I'm not really a festival goer normally, but I am a runner, so I can't wait to get there.
Oh, thank goodness.
I can't even tell you. I get an answer.
So it's not a swingers festival or something like that. It's people who love trails.
Exactly.
Not a love trails.
I mean, I love...
Love trails.
No, exactly that.
Yeah. Oh, well, have fun. I'll get you an answer by 1 o'clock, mate. Seriously. Otherwise, you're going to have to stop at a service station on the way and stock up on some supplies. It is coming. It's just gone 12:30. Amelia Cox has your headlines.
Summer's out there. Rent a car with Enterprise and unlock it. Prepay and save 10% on your Enterprise rental this summer. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, I'm Jonathan Ross.
And I'm Honey Ross.
And we're here to tell you about our podcast, Real Talk, where we discuss everything that's going on in the world of film and bring Hollywood to you.
From the latest indie films to hidden gems you can stream at home, right through to must-see blockbusters of the moment, we're watching everything and sharing our verdict on what's worth watching on the silver screen.
And on your small screen at home as well. So join us for weekly episodes of Real Talk. Listen now on globalplayer.com or download the Global Player app from your app store and search for Real Talk.
Mystery Hour with James O'Brien. This is LBC.
33 minutes after 12 is the time. Do shells have DNA? I.e., if I give you a shell, can you tell me where it came from? Why does Dan's shower water get hotter? He's holding the shower head It gets hotter as it makes its way. It all sounds a bit Mills and Boone, this. Why does the water get hotter as it makes its way down Dan's body? Islands. When you're on holiday, how much of the money that you spend on the island goes back to the mainland? Where does a spider's web go when a spider goes back up its web? Can Will eat his army ration packs from 1992 this weekend? What is the... So where does the succession of notes that a referee whistles at full time come from? Why do we talk about heats in sporting events, like the different rounds, we also call them? Why are they called heats? And I've actually been given a tennis ball. Do you know what they said to me? They said, James, here's a tennis ball. It'd be really good for YouTube. So, hi, YouTubers. I've got a tennis ball with me here. And the question we're asking on Mystery Hour is, why do tennis balls have... This isn't going to work on the radio, but this is just some exclusive content for the YouTubers, for the... What do we call them? The J-O-B-ers. Is that, you've got to have a thing like that, like Swifties. Jobbers? Here's the tennis ball. This bit here, I mean, why isn't it just all nice and furry all the way around instead of having these strange... grooves, these strange rubbery grooves in them. Perry's in Croydon. Perry, question or answer?
Answer, James.
Carry on, Perry.
So I think it's an answer to your why does water get hotter when you take the shower head off the handle or the holder? When it goes, water pressure with cold water and hot water, with hot water is a lot lower. So as you bring the head off and down more to the level of where the water is coming in,
yes,
from the pipework, it has less distance to travel up with that pressure, so it will come out hotter. Well, more hot water will come out with the cold, which makes it feel hotter, or does make it hotter.
I think I understand. So it's working less hard?
Yeah, it has to work less hard because it has to travel all the way up the hose to get to the
top.
So
when I said it's going downhill, I was sort of almost knocking at the door of a correct answer.
You pretty much got it.
Look at that. Qualifications?
I've fitted bathrooms for a long time, but general builder, carpenter, joiner.
What do we think about the old bath in the bedroom, mate?
I think if you are maybe a young couple with no kids at the house, or an older couple with kids out of the house, it might be nice to spice things up. But outside of that...
No, I wasn't thinking of it like that. I just thought I'd want it like sitting there reading a book on a Sunday morning and catching up with your beloved on
I see. Well, if you have a good view, I imagine, put it by the windows out to the balcony in your room, that would be perfect.
Could be nice.
Yeah.
Round of applause for Perry. Great answer.
Thank you very much.
Well, there you go. Thank you. 12:37 is the time. Matt's in Finchley. Matt, question or answer?
It's an answer for you, James.
Carry on.
Must admit, I thought you were giving me a huge build-up then when you said you've got the tennis ball in front of you and you're going to come straight to me. But
so that's the one you're answering. Well, it is a huge build-up. So everything you say, I'm going to examine...
Yeah, terrified now.
In real time. So go on. Why has it got it?
Well, first of all, there's a few kinds of different reasons, but the first one, obviously, you can't just have one piece of felt because at some point you'd have to stitch it right to join it together around.
Yes.
Yeah. So originally they used literal hand stitching. Back in the olden days.
Yeah.
Now they have, as you can see, like this, I think it's rubber. Well, yeah, it is rubber. That's now the seam, and you'll notice that it's in two identical shapes.
Yes.
So it fits together perfectly. That's kind of why you can't physically have one piece of fur. But there's also
so that's where it's glued.
The rubber is hot. Felt. Yeah, there's two pieces of felt, and they're stitched together. But they use.
But they're not stitched. They're fused together now.
Yeah, that's right.
And if their felt covered all of it, they just wouldn't be able to fuse it. You'd have a really weird, gloopy mess all around the side of the ball.
Exactly, yeah.
That's what I said.
And there's also benefits from an actual...
Sorry, that was me. I'm just going to bounce this one. Wait there.
Well, you can do a test now. If you spin the ball forwards and backwards, you'll be able to now, with the seams, if you're on the court, you'll identify whether someone's hit a topspin shot, a slice shot... what kind of...
Yeah, that's not the reason why they're there, though. That's just why they're useful.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
I like it.
So, yeah, this is my second tennis question I've answered for you. I'm hoping to get a reputation like Professor Hal in a few years.
There's going to be fewer questions on tennis than there is on the entirety of the world of science.
They're very few and far between, but I'm here every week for them just in case.
Who's going to win the Wimbledon?
Oh, that's a good one.
It's not a mystery out question, obviously.
No, I mean, Alcaraz, I hope can defend it. Yeah. But... yeah, I think he's got the edge. Djokovic's knee's a little bit iffy.
You can never rule him out, can you?
Well, I'd be a bit silly to say
Fritz,
that. But
is Fritz still in it?
No, he lost yesterday in five to the Italian.
I told you I wasn't paying as much attention as I usually do. I quite liked Fritz. Qualifications, please, Matt?
I play a lot of tennis, as I said previously, so yeah, I played quite high level, but that's it, really.
Round of applause for Matt, our tennis expert, our resident tennis, Professor Matt, our resident tennis, thank you, mate. Mind, there you go. Clayton is in Saffron Walden. Clayton, question or answer?
Question, James.
Carry on, mate.
Why is it, whenever your hands are covered in something, do you get an itchy nose?
You don't, though, do you? Not every... No, you don't.
Most of the time, you always do. It's like on the bridge. I was making some Dutch snacks yesterday for the football match.
Dutch snacks? What's a Dutch? This is, I mean, that's for eating, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I made some bitter ball and some croquettes.
Oh, look at get you. I love this. Getting into the spirit of things with some sort of relevant ethnic cuisine.
Yes.
You could have just put some mayonnaise on your chips and saved yourself all the hassle, couldn't you?
Could have done, yeah, but they were delicious.
Yeah, I like it. So you're all covered in batter?
Flour, batter, breadcrumbs, meat, you name it. And the moment my hands were covered in that stuff, I started to get an itchy nose.
Can I ask you a question?
Go for it.
Were you expecting to get an itchy nose?
No.
Yeah, you were.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, you were.
No, it wasn't, because I don't normally get an itchy nose, but it happens when your hands are covered in stuff.
I don't know that it does. Did you use your sleeve?
I tried to use the back of my hand.
Yeah, risky.
But it doesn't get... You tend to still get a bit messy. And so in the end, I had to wash my hands, because it just doesn't go away to inspect it.
Should have used pincers. Not to do the nose, to do the coating of the croquettes.
Well, I learned quite quickly, and I just had lots of spoons in every different
Yeah, that's it.
Covering.
You do learn quite quickly, because I do a nice chicken parmigiana.
Oh, really?
You're like a schnitzel.
Yes.
So you've got your flour, your egg, and your breadcrumbs. Mm-hmm. And if you try and do that with your hands, then it's going to be like you've got oven gloves made of batter on by the time you get to the second or third schnitzel. But I never got an itchy nose.
But you're using pincers. Your hands aren't getting dirty.
No, that's why I use pincers, because I used to use my hands, and I realised what a mess it made. I was all over the shop. But I like it. Look at us, pair of chefs. Thank you, Clayton. The question is on the board. I mean, there's no unlikely to be any biological explanation of this, but is there any truth at all in Clayton's theory that when his hands are covered in gunk, he always gets an itchy nose? 0345 6060 973 is the number that you need. John's in Stockton-on-Tees. John, question or answer?
It's an answer.
Have you got an itchy nose?
I certainly don't.
No, carry on now. Some no people worries. Do. I said, just talking about it. It's like sneezing. Anyway, go on. What have we got?
Yeah. So I'm just going to challenge the cooling effect of the shower head.
Oh no. So, that's a steward's inquiry.
I'm afraid it is. Oh. Yeah. I could probably give a little bit of credence to the previous answer. And I'll give them some credit for that, but I think we're looking at cooling effects. So if the temperature of the water that leading the nozzle is X, and you've got a spray of water, so you've got quite a lot of surface air being exposed to air, it's going to be cooled. So the temperature at the head, when the water reaches the person's head, is X minus Y.
Yeah.
Now, if you take it off the holder and bring it closer to your body, less time to cool, and it's appreciatively warmer.
The gap is smaller.
The gap is smaller, and there's less surface air being exposed to air, less cooling effect taking place. Also, the lower limbs are likely to feel a little bit cooler as well, so they're going to feel appreciatively warmer.
I think you can both be right, can't you, on this?
Potentially,
I'm going with that. I'm going with the qualifications.
Diagnostic radiographer, study heat removal for X-ray tubes, participation on bodies in MRI scanners, that sort of thing.
I was about to tease you and say, no, I don't mean that sort of qualification. I mean, how do you know this thing that you know about showerheads? But actually, it is part of your radiography qualifications that have given you the education on the question of heat retention and diffusion. Round of applause for John. Please. That was a lovely answer. We're a bit short of answers, aren't we? Hopefully we've got a lot more coming. I'm just going to write that. John there. And William is in Chinon in France. William, question or answer?
Got an answer.
Carry on then.
So the spider web question.
Oh, yes.
So basically there's hundreds of species of spiders, but there's two different ways that they sort of recycle the silk. So a lot of them
silk, that was
do
the
eat it.
Yeah.
And then they,
really?
Yeah.
What, would they eat it, digest it, and then re-secrete it again? Well, I see.
Yeah, but the answer to the actual question is the ones that sort of drop down and speed back up.
Yes.
They don't have time to eat it in that time, so they just bundle it up with their back legs.
Really?
Yeah, and I've seen them do it because I've got into macro photography, like spiders and insects.
Really close up, really really tight close-ups of tiny little things.
Yeah, I use my phone, so I have to be within like half an inch or so of the spiders to get in close enough to see the detail.
And you can see they're bundling up a little ball of silk between their back legs. Well, you say back legs, it's a spider. They've got eight legs.
Yeah, but it is the back legs, yeah.
Well, how can it be the back?
Usually 'cause they're
Oh, they've still got a front, haven't they? They've got eyes. So it's like the back two, legs six and seven.
I think it's the back two. Yeah.
Okay. And then what happens to it?
They can reuse it.
But do they just, can they unravel it again immediately? Can they go up and down like a yo-yo?
I haven't seen them do that, but I presume they can, or they can probably just...
There's a finite amount. Oh, but then that's why they don't drop down like 8 meters, because they wouldn't be able to. Oh, I'm going to give you the round of applause. In fact, is that what it's called? Macro photography.
Yeah, macro. I got into that the last couple of years, so I sort of published my photos on Instagram and
love
just
it.
An extra hobby.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I love it. A round of applause for William, please. There we go. That's the answer to James's question on the spiders. William and James. It's 12:46.
Here's the truth about AI. AI is only as powerful as the platform it's built into. ServiceNow puts AI to work for people across your business, removing friction and frustration for your employees, supercharging productivity for your developers, providing intelligent tools for your service agents to make customers happier. All built into a single platform you can use right now. That's why the world works with ServiceNow. Visit servicenow.com/UK/AI for people.
Fridge left your salad looking sad? Stay chilled and find your next one at AO. Lock in those fantastic flavours and keep your food fresher and healthier for longer with food preservation tech from Hiya and Beko. Plus, there are finance options to suit you. That's why we're the UK's most trusted electrical retailer. Shop better with incredible deals on fridge freezers at AO.com. To verify most trusted, visit ao.com/trust.
Here's the truth about AI. AI is only as powerful as the platform it's built into. ServiceNow puts AI to work for people across your business, removing friction and frustration for your employees, supercharging productivity for your developers, providing intelligent tools for your service agents to make customers happier. All built into a single platform you can use right now. That's why the world works with ServiceNow. Visit servicenow.com/UK/AI for people.
BP Pulse's rapid and ultra-fast chargers help you keep up with your busy lifestyle. Like charging your EV for the big shop, Jane's party up north, weekend at mum's, Steve's party down south, walkies with Tiddles, that away game, back home. Oops, forgot the dry cleaning. Keep up with the speed of life with our rapid and ultra-fast EV chargers nationwide. Download the BP Pulse app to find your nearest and available chargers. BP's here for your travel needs, mostly with petrol and diesel. But BP Pulse already has over 3,000 rapid and ultra-fast charging points.
Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
It is 12:48. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. I'm going to channel Stuart Lee for a moment and point out you can't say anything anymore without being called a racist, can you? Neville's been in touch to say shocking xenophobia from at Mr. James O'B on Twitter. Dutch cuisine is about much more than mayonnaise on fries. We put mayonnaise on lots of other deep-fried foods too. And that's only half of the controversy spawned by that throwaway line about mayonnaise on chips, or fries, if you prefer. An awful lot of people from Belgium claiming that it's Belgian, not Dutch. It could be both. It's a bit like hummus, this, but we'd better not go there. 12:49 is the time. Lots of questions needing answers. Madison is on the Gold Coast in Australia. Madison, question or answer?
I've got an answer.
Carry on.
Okay, so the caller who said, can I eat these rations?
Will.
Yeah, Will.
Yeah.
He can eat those rations.
Yeah.
But it's going to taste really bad and make him kind of sick.
Well, I think, I don't know you know this, but what he meant was, can I eat these rations and it will all be okay?
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously, it's going to be fine. He just might have a bit of a ill tummy for a little bit.
But he won't. So we'll advise him not to do it then, because it's not like he's on a desert island with nothing else to eat. He's on his way to a festival.
He's in a festival where it's 14 quid for chips.
That's a good... Yeah, but he could buy food. That's very true. With or without mayonnaise. Probably costs extra. True. What are your qualifications?
So I've actually eaten an MRE, a meal ready to eat, from the 60s.
Why?
I was obsessed with like military stuff, and it came up. It was like an MRE pack thing I found in like a surplus shop, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna buy this MRE. Surely it's fine." Opened it up. I didn't eat the beef or anything because
it was dehydrated. It was dehydrated. So like the little lumps of meat you get in a pot noodle or something like that.
Yeah, kind of, but it's more like a hard sort of square of what can be described as meat.
Ooh.
Quote unquote.
Ah.
Yeah. So I didn't eat that, but I started on the crackers, and I thought the crackers were that bad, I'm not eating the meat.
Yeah. I mean, how can what was wrong with the crackers?
Honestly, you know, those...
This is 50-year-old food, mate.
Yeah, I know, but,
you know.
When you're 16, you do what you want to do, you know?
It's an adventure. Okay, so, and you didn't get ill just from the... crackers?
Oh, no. I mean, I had the crackers, and then it was a bit sort of, oh, I'm not sure about this. Yeah. And then sort of sniffed the beef, and that was enough to make me feel a bit sick.
I'm not having it. So was it just beef and crackers in the pack?
It was beef, crackers, and there was like some coffee.
Yeah, you'd be all right with that. That would be fine. That would be no spangles.
No spangles, no.
That's outrageous. Okay, I like it. Qualifications, I ate some from the 60s. So I think that what Will was asking was, should I eat it? To which we would both say no, even if chips are 14 quid at a festival. But you know, there is no better qualification than having done it yourself.
Yeah.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
No, thank you. What time is it on the Gold Coast?
Oh, it is. It's 10 to 10. In the evening.
Okay, that's a nice time to listen. That's a different vibe for you than for people listening in daylight hours. 12:52, Simon's in Henley on Thames. Simon, question or answer?
It's an answer, James.
Carry on.
And it's a further update on the tennis ball question. You can't actually wrap a tennis ball, as sort of indicated by your previous caller, in a single piece of felt, because it will, of course, crease. But the origins are sort of unclarified by him, and in fact they're still handmade for real tennis today.
The origins
of the original tennis ball were from real tennis in Henry VIII's day, and all tennis balls were hand sewn. Lawn tennis became a derivative of real tennis only hundreds of years later, and they developed a soft ball to play with, but of course they wrap it with a single piece of felt, they would have been hand sewn.
Where do you live and learn?
As of today, on the 47 courts in the world, every single real tennis ball is handmade.
Qualifications?
And hand sewn. I am chairman of a real tennis club and I play real tennis.
We've done this before.
No, we haven't actually.
Have we not? Well, someone else who plays real tennis has rung in. There can't be that many of you.
No, there's only about 5,000, I think.
So you probably know each other.
Probably. Well, it depends probably how. Exactly.
I like it. A round of applause for Simon, please. Why do you choose to play real tennis, given it's esoteric? It can't be a better game than lawn tennis, or do you think that it is?
It's far better.
Is it really?
Far more intellectually challenging, and it's not just about how hard you hit the ball. In fact, it's quite the opposite. So it's well worth a look on YouTube, because anybody, and also
it allows you to play to a much greater age in life than your average tennis player who will require fitness because you have it's played on an indoor court and it's a mix between squash and tennis.
So, I was about to say it sounds like a mix between squash and tennis. I think there's one. Is there one at Hampton Court? Is there a court?
The original court is at Hampton Court, built in 1540, something
and
like that.
And can you still play on it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the busiest courts in the world.
We're talking about the history of tennis. If I were to say David Attenborough, would you know why?
No, that might be a bit incongruous to me in that context.
What colour are the balls in real tennis?
Well, they're green.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, green and yellow, the same as regular lawn tennis balls.
I don't know that they would have always been like that, because I think when David Attenborough was controller of BBC Two, he brought in green tennis balls because of how they looked on the telly.
Right.
That's true. Don't laugh.
Yeah.
Well, I hope it's true. I've said it out loud now. It's probably an urban myth, isn't it?
I'm curious. They have been made occasionally in other colours, like pink.
I used to get white ones when I was a kid.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, you're right. You get the multicoloured ones as well for training and stuff like that.
We have a pink pair of real tennis balls, which are, I think, originally Henry VIII's real tennis balls.
Well, you see, they were pink.
Embossed. And they were embossed with a royal crest, so because that was the extent they went to. So... and you have to change the real tennis balls get remade about every 2 to 3 weeks. So the professionals, they spend their life literally sewing because you go through 60 at a time.
Good Lord. Round of applause for Simon, please. I'm standing by my David Attenborough story. I am. I absolutely am. James is in Bishop Stortford. James, question or answer?
I've got an answer.
Carry on.
So it's an answer to the question about can you tell where shells are from?
Yes.
And the answer is yes.
Yeah, I knew it.
So there's sort of geographically distinct sort of isotopic signatures all over the world for certain elements, and carbon is one of them. And when mollusks sort of sequester carbon to create their shells, they draw in these isotopes and they get captured into the shell material.
Yeah, and then, so if you've got a mussel in Norfolk and a mussel in Thailand, and they're of the same species, which is, I think, unlikely, but for the purposes of this thought experiment, then it's what they have absorbed in the course of their life cycle that will determine the constitution of the shell. And by knowing that, you will know where the shell has come from.
Yeah, exactly. And it's even more easy to tell with stuff like mollusks because they don't really move around a lot. You know, they're...
Does that mean there's a map? Is there a database?
I don't know about specific database, but, you know, in a lot of research, it's been mapped out to some extent.
I love it. Qualifications?
I have a master's in marine biology that I finally got to use.
I was about to say, that must be a first. A round of applause for James, please. That is, that is pure marine biology, in fact. Mitchell's in Newbury. Mitchell, question or answer?
Answer, James.
Carry on, Mitchell.
It's to do with the football whistles.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So, I do a bit of refereeing occasionally, and this was something I actually looked into myself a little while ago.
Yeah.
Just because I didn't want to look like an idiot on the pitch. But... So there's no kind of specific mentioning in the laws of the game that the whistles need to be kind of different. But usually what you find is there's guidelines, but usually you start the game with one whistle, you do half time with two whistles, and then you do full time with three whistles.
So you can do a little bit of a flourish yourself. As long as there are three distinct whistles, you can do a bit of jazz. Because quite often at the end they go, whistle, whistle, whistle. Don't they?
Absolutely. Yeah. You put your own spin on it.
So 1, 2, 3, put your own spin on it. I like it. Do you have a little trademark there yourself, Mitchell?
I just do the standard, you know,
Can't blow the whistle down the radio. It's one of those things that rules sets off dogs and everything. Can't do it, seriously. It's like doing seances.
But there's no official writing of this in the laws of the game.
It's just evolved once because you've got to know. I am hurrying you, but only because it's 12:59 and Sheila's here. So quick round of applause for Mitchell. I'm going to give, if she hasn't got one already, I'm going to give the board game to Fanny because she didn't get an answer to her Heats question, and I think that was an absolutely brilliant question. And I know what you're thinking. It should go to the first call, shouldn't it? Because she was so nice. Ren. No, not Ren. Anyway, Fanny. That's it for me for another day. If you missed any of today's show, you can listen back on Catch Up on Global Player, the official LBC app, where you can also pause and rewind live radio. Download it now for free from your app store or head to globalplayer.com. Coming up at 4 on LBC, it's Tom Swarbrick, but now it's time for Sheila Fogarty.
Summer's out there. Rent a car with Enterprise and unlock it. Prepay and save 10% on your Enterprise rental this summer. Terms and conditions apply.